Because you see a man who serves God his whole life. We see it drawn out in the Bible for us. And starts when he's very young. His mother, Hannah, in fact, gave him to the Lord even before he was born. And so she brought him, and Eli was the priest, and so Samuel would come, and he would serve the Lord, even as a very small boy. Matter of fact, the Bible says his mother would come and would bring him new clothes to wear as he grew every year, and would just come and visit him. And so as he was very small, very little, he was learning how to serve the Lord. And we saw that really lived out tonight with the children here. I mean, children, no. Jesus said, "Suffer the children to come and be to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven." You know, you can serve. How many of you children know you can serve God right now? How many know that? That's right, you can. And so we serve God. Now how many of you adults know you can serve God right now? Okay. You know what? But see, us as adults, now we have something else we get to do, and that's to help bring up the next generation. All right? They're already setting the standard. We saw that. But now they need us to help and instruct them and to teach them. And Eli did that for Samuel, but there came a time where Samuel really needed to hear the voice of the Lord for himself. And we're going to read a little bit about that tonight. 1 Samuel 3:1. It says, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And it came to pass at that time, while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had grown begun to grow so dim that he couldn't see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here I am.' So he ran to Eli, and he said, 'Here I am, for you called me.'" Well, some things we want to look at here. When the Lord says, "Here I am," and calls our name, our response should be, "Here I am, Lord, for your service." So how many know when God says, "I'm calling you by name," what's our response? "Here I am." Can you say that? Say, "Here I am." Well, so when the Lord speaks to us, we need to respond and say, "Here I am, Lord, for you." I mean, here we see Samuel. He is sleeping in the place where the priest served the Lord. Are the things of God close to my heart? Are the things of God things that I'm thinking about on a regular basis? Now, I'm talking to all of us, children and adults alike. But adults, listen, we cannot help to prepare the next generation if the things of God are not near to us. If the things of God are just something, well, you know, I just leave that to the pastor and I'll leave that. Listen, we will not raise up the next generation, possibly. The things that we need to teach our children are, am I quick to answer when the Lord calls? Am I quick to say, "Here I am, Lord, use me"? Am I quick to obey? I mean, it's one thing to answer, but how many know it's something else to obey? Now, you kids know that. You know, you'll hear, now that the weather's nice, you're out playing, and you'll hear Mom call your name. Say, "Time to come home." You say, "I hear you," but do you come home? Listen, not all the time. See, it's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to obey. And, you know, even as adults, that can happen with us sometimes, is we can hear the Lord, but we don't obey, all right? We can hear the Lord, but we don't obey. So here's the thing. The Bible tells us there was no revelation in the time that Samuel lived. They didn't have the word of the Lord regularly. You know, you and I, Piper, if you don't sit still, I'll have to ask your parents to take you out. And then you won't be able to enjoy this with all of us. And you like dancing, didn't you? Okay, would you sit and listen just for a few more minutes? Would you do that for me? Hey, everybody, let's hear it for Piper. What a good girl. Thank you. And the thing is, the Bible tells us, and how many know we have Bibles now? We have the Word of God. We have the written Word of God. We've got the Holy Spirit on the inside. But you and I have to read the Word and then read the Word to our children. The Bible says, in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right? And so as parents, we have to set the example by reading the word and then reading it with our children. Now, part of what we're going to be doing with these first week services is it's really helping to disciple, because that's really what we're trying to do, and help to show you how easy it is to just take a story in the Bible, talk about it, break it down, have communion together as a family, pray for one another. We just saw that. And start to enjoy the presence of God regularly in our homes. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 2:18 that Samuel, though he was only a boy, served the Lord. See, it's easy when God speaks to mistake it for someone else. It's easy when, matter of fact, when you're, so many times when God will speak to us, listen carefully, when God speaks to us, it sounds like our own voice. Sometimes it might even sound like our parents' voice. It may sound like Pastor Tony's voice. I mean, that's just how it is. But you know, but that's okay for a while. But God wants us to start there, and it's a good place to start, but it's not a good place to stay. Say, it's a good place to start. Say, but it's not a good place to stay. And we all need teachers, and we all need mentors, and parents have a part to play. But what we're doing as parents is we're teaching our children how to hear the voice of the Lord. And even though it may sound like our voice sometimes, it may sound like their voice, they're starting to learn what the voice of the Lord starts like. And you know, if you've never done this, you can. You can listen to the voice of the Lord and start tonight, start tomorrow. He wants to have a relationship with you that is out of this world. 1 Samuel 3:6, let's read on. It says, "Then the Lord called yet again Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' He answered, 'I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him." All right? He was used to going to Eli. This is kind of like how children will come to their parents, go to their teachers. And we as adults, we can go to teachers too. And we all need a mentor of sorts. Now let's read on verse 8. Look what it says. "And the Lord called Samuel again a third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be if he calls you that you must say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So Samuel went and lay down in his place." And what we see here is Eli does the thing that a mentor or a parent should do. We realize that it's come a time where they need to hear the voice of the Lord themselves. And so we say, you know what? That was the Lord speaking to you. Now you go and say, "Here I am, Lord," and listen to what he has to say. This is good advice for us as adults too, by the way. It's really something that, you know, so now here's the thing. Children, you know that your parents are supposed to teach you how to hear the voice of the Lord. And then there'll come a time for you to hear it, and they're supposed to help you with that. So now, guess what? You get to ask them to do that at home. All the parents are like, "I didn't think you were going to do this, Pastor." "Oh, yeah, I am, yeah." Yeah, this is what we need to do in our homes and to bring our children up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, all right? And starting to learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. Now, the principle of Samuel's story is clear. See, as Christians, we all want the shortest time, the least amount of work, with no challenges. How many know that's true? We just want it the quick way. How many like it to be quick? You know, it's kind of like those commercials. How many think fast or slow is better? What's better? Is it fast or slow? Kids, help me out. Is it fast better or slow? Is it fast? Why is fast better? That's right. That's right. See? But let me tell you this. Growing in the Lord is not fast. It's not a fast thing. All right? It's something that we learn over time, and our parents help teach us, but then children have their part to play. And listen, you can make it faster by obeying. All right? So every one of us could do that. See, we think we know where we're going. We think we know a better way. All right? Some people want occasional help, but most people don't want continual help. But you know, the Lord wants to give us continual help. He doesn't want us to just come when things are wrong. How many know that? You know, when things go wrong, we're like, "God, help me. Jesus, help me." But you know, the Lord wants us to come to him even when things are going great, because he just wants to hang out with us. He wants to just spend time with us. All right? Sometimes, though, we're going to have to be willing to change direction. We're going to have to listen to the Lord. He may say, "Hey, I need you to go this way," or "You're not doing this quite right," because the Lord knows his will for our lives, but you and I get to find it out. Listen what it says, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." God wants to give you a future. Everybody say this with me. Say, "My future is bright." Say, "My future is great. My God is mighty." See, when you and I find out the will of God for our lives, the Bible says that he wants to do abundantly beyond what we can think, what we can imagine. So listen, let your imagination run wild. How many have an imagination? Kids, how many of you have imaginations? Let me ask you this. You got to be honest now. We're in church. How many have ever daydreamed? You ever daydream? It's okay. It's all right. It's okay to daydream. Your parents daydream in church all the time. So it's all right. All right? You daydream. All right? But you know, your imagination, listen carefully, your imagination was given to you by God, because sometimes you imagine things and they're like, wow, it's like way beyond the realm of possibility. Do you know that that's exactly what God wants to do in your life? Something that's way beyond the realm of possibility? It says, here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, things are impossible with men, but all things are possible with God. How many know that? That's what Jesus says. All things are possible, whatever he speaks to you. So listen, your life can be exciting. Your life can be full of fun stuff. Your life can be full of telling people about how good God is. Ephesians 1, read this with me, verse 4. It says, just as he chose us, say, he chose me. Would you say that? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. You know, it pleases God to choose us. Jesus said that to his disciples. You didn't choose me, I chose you. How does that make you feel that God chose you? That God chose you to love you, to have a relationship with you? And I'll tell you, so many of us really have a hard time believing that God loves us, that God likes us, that God wants to be around us. There's a popular song that's out, and it's a song that my wife Trish really likes, and the Lord ministered to her through this song. Now, some people say, oh, secular song. And listen, you know what? It all comes from God anyway. Some people just don't use it for the right purpose. But there's a song. It's called Just the Way You Are. It's been recorded by a couple of different artists. The one that Trish heard was recorded by Anthem Lights. They're not the author of the song, but they did record it. And I want to just read the chorus. Listen, this is a word for each and every one of us. Guys, you'll have to change one little part, but that's all right. It says, when I see your face, there's not a thing that I would change, because you're amazing just the way you are. It says, and when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while. All right, everybody look this way. How many can smile? Would you smile at me? You know that that's one thing that you can give away and give away and give away, and it will just keep coming back to you. But it says here that when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while because, girl, now, guys, we don't say girl, but because you just say your name. You're amazing just the way you are. Now, the Lord ministered to Trish through this word, this song. And said, I just love you the way you are. So we could say this, because you're amazing just the way you are. And when you smile, the whole world stops and stares for a while because, Tony, you're amazing. And you can insert your name there, all right? You're amazing just the way you are. The way you are, the way you are. Tony, you're amazing just the way you are. Trish.
You know, they are, but I would never recommend working all day long in them and then jumping around up here. I was like going to take my shoes off with all the kids and get down there. And so, yeah, you know, so many pastors reading this song, and so many times we can hear these love songs and this Anthem Lights. They do glorify God and they do sing about the Lord too. But sometimes we think, oh, that's just so feminine and so girly and so whatever, you know. But we all are made in God's image, male, female. You know, God created us the way we are to reflect his glory, you know, and each one of us reflect his glory and his beauty in a different way, you know, and so many times the enemy can come in, the devil can come in at a super young age, and I can identify with that. You know, the enemy came in when I was super young and told me I was fat, I was ugly, I was worthless, whatever, through lies I believed myself or through other kids or adults, but it's a lie. Because the seed that is planted in you by Father God, the greatness that is inside of you now, you know, is something that he put in you while you were yet in the womb. And kids, if you don't have what I call a life scripture, you know, it's not about all the scriptures you know and memorize, but it's something that comes alive in you and helps you when you're going through a tough time and the enemy's coming after you and you feel like you have no one in the world that understands you. You can get in the Bible and say, this is for me. This is from God. And he's been just speaking to me, even at my young age of, guess how old I am. I'm older than a lot of you. But even at my age, the Lord is still bringing healing to wounds that happened when I was as young as 3, 4. You know, it's in layers and it's in levels. But when you are in the house of God, you have your family, but then you have the family here where we can encourage one another and we can pray for one another and speak life. And I recommend you read Psalm 139, but here's a couple of scriptures right here that I just love. I'm going to read verses 13 and 14. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I, say I, everybody say I, am fearfully and wonderfully made. Do you believe that? Are you fearfully and wonderfully made? Why? It's not about what you do, but it's about who formed you. God formed you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Marvelous is his works. You are beautiful. You are amazing just the way you are right now.
That's good. Yes. See, God has a plan for your life, and you need to believe that you're amazing the way you are to fulfill that plan. God has promises that you and I are to believe. I'm going to give you a few more scriptures, and we're going to take communion together. Now, parents, if you want the notes to these, they're available. Next week, you can get them. You can take these home, and you can get, I'm skimming through this so quick. Maybe you're following on your phone. You'll see I'm skipping through a lot. But I want to read Joshua 1. This is on page 5 of the notes there, Aaron. I don't know where you've got that loaded. But Joshua 1, it says, "Only be strong and courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." You know, when we listen to the Word of God, our life can work. When we listen to God's Word, our life works out well, all right? It says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, through the glory of God, through us." There are principles in God's Word that guide our lives. Psalm 119 says, "And I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given me life." There's patterns we're to obey. Proverbs 6:23, he says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress." Let me just say now, it's talking about the woman that's the world. Okay, that's really what this means. The Word of God keeps us from the world, because the world is always trying to draw us away. I mean, even you children at your ages, you know, there are things that are trying to get your attention to draw you away from God. But you know, the Word of God will keep you on the right path. Deuteronomy 6:6, it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You'll teach them diligently to your children." Parents, this is a charge to us. "And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, while you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." The Word of God should be something that is before us all the time. All the time. I mean, the Word of God is something we talked about in our home when our children were very little. We talked the Word. We prayed the Word. You know, we didn't like make them memorize Scripture and beat them till they got it. We want them to know the Word of God that means something to them, because that's what you need. You need something that will stay with you the rest of your life. That's why it's like Pastor Trish said, kids, you need to find some scriptures that you can look at day after day after day after day. And your parents can help you find some scriptures to live by. Some of these we're giving tonight are really good for that. God wants to give us peace, Colossians 3:15. "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful." These scriptures I'm giving you, every one of these are good life scriptures that you can memorize, that you can read, that you can dwell on, and believe God to have a fantastic life. See, God's plan is better than you think it is. Ephesians 1:9, he says, "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." See, God has a great plan for your life. Now, what I want to do next is we want to just serve communion together. And Pastor Bob and Trish and my son Tony, they're going to help distribute this tonight. And what I'd like you to do, parents, is just go ahead and everyone, children, everybody's going to take this. Wait until we distribute it. I want to look at some scriptures. And then I encourage you to just gather around as a family. Just hold hands or whatever. The best you can do. It's kind of hard to do with the elements. But just try to make it work. If you need to slip out of your seat a little bit, you can do that. Whatever. There's room down front. If you want to do it, come down here. But what I encourage you to do is just take communion together as a family. Now listen, you can do this at home. Grape juice, orange juice, water, I don't care. A little piece of Ritz cracker, it doesn't matter. You can take it with carrots and hummus. I don't know. Do whatever. The thing is, you got to remember Jesus, okay? There's nothing magical about grape juice and crackers. It was just a precedent. It was a teaching that Jesus gave us when he was here. Now, I want to read here for a moment what it says here as they're passing that out. 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "For I pass to you what I received from the Lord himself." This is 1 Corinthians 11, 23. I'm sorry, Aaron. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he said, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again.'" And this is something that Jesus taught when he was here, showed the disciples, and then again appeared to the Apostle Paul and gave him the same instructions. I want to read another scripture, Hebrews 9. This is in the New King James Version. Hebrews 9, 13. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Now listen carefully. Children, listen. I want everyone to listen. So what it's telling us here is that Jesus' blood is better than all the blood of all the sacrifices that the priests made in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And if you look at the Old Covenant, the priest would go in there, and there's a lot of things that we wouldn't understand, but we can understand this. He would go in there, and the Bible says that he would take the blood, all right, of the offering, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. He would sprinkle it on the mercy seat. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus did this in heaven. And his blood, somehow God collected his blood and put it on the mercy seat of heaven. But you know, when we take communion, listen, when we take communion, we're looking at the blood of that covenant. We're looking at his body that was broken. But you know, the mercy seat is now inside of us. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the mercy seat that brings us near to him. And so what we're doing is we're drinking this grape juice, and it signifies Jesus' sacrifice, the blood that was poured on the mercy seat. Are you with me? And so what's happening here, how many like to be forgiven? How many think that's really cool? How many, like, let me ask you this, kids. If you did something wrong and you know that mom and dad are going to come and you're going to get some kind of discipline, how many know you're like, mercy? How many know what I'm saying, all right? All right? Please don't do it. You know that Jesus took punishment. Listen, Jesus took punishment for you. Jesus took it for you. And so when we take this tonight, we're saying, Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for what you've done for me. And so what I encourage us to do as families is to just gather around together and to just receive the Lord. And I want to read this scripture one more time. We started with 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. He says, "I pass on to you again from the Lord himself. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread, gave thanks to God for it. He broke it into pieces and said, 'This is my body.'" So as we pray together as a family, here's what I want you to do. Mom, Dad, just get the attention of your children. And you've got the cracker there. You want to bring some over here, Trish? We'll take that together, too. Just have you come on up here. All right. So, parents, just say, you know, this is Jesus' body that was broken. Now, I'm going to give you a few seconds here. Just say that to your kids. Just make eye contact. Look, if you don't have children in here, look at someone next to you. Let's take this together. This is Jesus' body broken for us. This is for healing. This is for protection. This is for peace of mind. Everything that we need. And you can just go ahead and take it. Serve yourself, serve your children. It says, "He took the wine of cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it.'" So I want us to just make eye contact. Say, this blood is a covenant that cannot be taken away. Forgiveness of sins. Now, I want us all to pray. Say this: Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I make you Lord of my life. I want to be your disciple. I want to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, so now, parents, what we've done is we've set the example for our kids, but now we get to hold our children accountable and they get to hold us accountable because we all just said, Jesus, I want to be your disciple. What does that mean? It means I'm going to continue to live for him. How many want to live for Jesus? How many want to serve him? Even when it gets hard, how many want to serve him? Amen? All right. Let me just pray over you tonight, and then we're going to go ahead, and we've got a few announcements, and we'll dismiss. But let me read a scripture over you. This will be a blessing. This is Hebrews 13:20. He says, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. You want me to just do announcements quick, or you want to do them? I'll just do them real quick. Dori Mindering is coming. She is really...